It's another Friday night, and this is your WWE SmackDown review for Friday, January 20th. I am the Solemn Monster. Tonight, we had a contract signing for the Undisputed Championship match at the Royal Rumble with Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens, another show-long bloodline storyline, tension between Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. Typically, the best parts of SmackDown involve Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. We had a lot of bloodline segments on this show, and it all built to the contract signing where Kevin Owens came out. He got the jump on the bloodline. He left Roman Reigns laying with a stunner. He fended off all the other members. As Sami Zayn was nowhere to be found, Roman Reigns had sent him off like an errand boy to go take care of some stuff, make sure the SUVs were ready and the jet was fueled and ready to go. Then Kevin Owens put Roman through a table with the pop-up powerbomb to a huge reaction, and then Sami Zayn showed up. So we had another stare down with Owens and Zayn, and Owens ran off. He got the last word. He got the last laugh on the bloodline tonight in what was the best thing on the entire show, and they wanted you to believe that Kevin Owens has a shot at the Royal Rumble against Roman Reigns. He doesn't. But their job tonight was to convince you that he did, and I thought they did a good job with that segment. If you are a fan of tag team wrestling, then tonight was your kind of night, because we had not one, not two, not three, but four matches, four first-round matches in the tag team tournament to crown new number one contenders for the SmackDown tag team titles. But if you're looking for great tag team wrestling, you did not get great tag team wrestling tonight. You got some good tag team wrestling. You got two good tag team matches. And then the other two matches, well, they weren't so good. A couple of quick squashes, but the bracket is now set. I will not reveal what it is just yet. The first round is now in the books. We now have two semifinal matches scheduled in this tournament, and I have a feeling I know where this is headed. Bray Wyatt and LA Knight are heading towards the Royal Rumble in a pitch black, the Mountain Dew pitch black, I got to get it right, the Mountain Dew pitch black match, which we still don't know too much about, although I do have an update per Fightful on something that was mentioned regarding the pitch black match. I will let you know what that is. But tonight, for the first time in a very long time, we had a brand new, I guess you would say, edition of the Firefly Funhouse. Firefly Funhouse with Funhouse Bray and all the puppets. This is what LA Knight has done. He has caused Bray Wyatt to go to places that we have not seen him go before. LA Knight continues to do everything he can to sustain my interest in this. LA Knight went out there before his match. He had a squash match. Cut a very good promo. I'm very bullish on his future. All he has to do is get past this match at the Royal Rumble, which I don't expect him to win. We'll talk about the Funhouse. We'll talk about Charlotte Flair and what she was doing on this show. We have a new lineup of legends announced for Raw 30, including two legends who have been removed from the advertising for Monday night, which I'm sure will devastate all of you. So we're going to get into all of that. SmackDown kicked off with the Bloodline arriving in separate cars backstage. Sami Zayn, he was in a great mood. Roman Reigns was not. And so when Sami Zayn put his fist out for a fist bump, Roman just stared at him and he walked off. And Sami had a devastated look on his face. And I thought, uh-oh, that's not a good sign. We started with one of four first-round tag team title tournament matches, this one pitting Drew McIntyre and Sheamus against the Viking Raiders. Michael Cole, as he did probably about a month ago now, 3 or 4 weeks ago, when Don West passed away, they had him acknowledge, or maybe he asked permission to do it, and Triple H said sure, but whatever. Michael Cole went on TV, and he acknowledged the passing of Don West and sent condolences to his family, and he did the same tonight for Jay Briscoe. They had actually broken into NXT on Tuesday night to have Vic Joseph make the announcement about Jay, which I thought was very nice of them to do. Michael Cole did the same here tonight on SmackDown. And even in this match, Eric and Ivar were out there, and they had armbands that said Dem Boys on them. Obviously, they were very familiar with the Briscoes back to their Ring of Honor days as War Machine. Kevin Owens later in the show had his own Jay Briscoe armband on. And before we even get into this match here, actually some positive news, which I want to share with you. And it was just posted a little while ago by PW Insider. So I'm going to read directly from the PW Insider update here. This was posted after SmackDown went off the air by Mike Johnson. We all know the extent of the injuries that were sustained by Jay Briscoe's daughters, just gruesome injuries that no adult should have to go through, let alone two children ages 12 and 9. But there is an update on their condition, and this comes from the people who are organizing the fundraising page for Jay Briscoe, which has just completely blown away the original goal, which I believe was $50,000. Last I checked, it was closing in on $230,000. I don't know where it is now, but this is the update on Jay Briscoe's daughters. Last night, Jay's older daughter, Gracie, had a rough night. Lots of tingling and itching in her lower legs and having surgery to repair a dislocated hip. She began occupational therapy today and has regained feeling in her lower extremities. And that's important because they were very worried that she may not regain feeling in her legs below the knee and that perhaps she would never walk again. So that is fantastic news. Says she has started to make movements in her lower extremities using her thigh muscles. She has a long way to go, but this was a major positive step. Gracie was able to get up and sit in a wheelchair today. She is now taking oral pain medications and is no longer on an IV. She is still groggy from all the medications and has been getting a lot of sleep. Briscoe's other daughter, Jaylee, who they refer to as JJ, the 9-year-old, is still dealing with a lot of pain, but was fitted with a back brace today. She was able to get up and sit on the side of her bed and also spent some time in a wheelchair today, getting out of the bed for a little bit. She still has a tube in place, one that goes up the nose into the stomach, and is still unable to eat or drink. Doctors are hopeful that it can be removed tomorrow to allow her to return to eating normal foods. She remains on an IV as well. She has spent most of the last few days sleeping. Each girl obviously has a long road to recovery, including physical therapy. Mark and Papa Briscoe were able to visit with the girls today at the hospital, along with the girls' brother, Gannon. And so that is a very positive update compared to, you know, the news as it was before. Hopefully that continues. It is going to be a very long, very, I'm sure, painful, strenuous road to recovery. They suffered very severe injuries in that car accident, but that was a positive update I wanted to share with everybody that literally just went up about 20 minutes ago. So I'm going to talk a lot more about Jay Briscoe. And, you know, I did the other night, but I have a lot more to say. And we'll get into a lot of stuff, not just about the accident, but his career and other things and what AEW did the other night, what they did and were not allowed to do. The full tribute will be on episode 792 this Sunday, so I hope you'll tune in for that. But anyway, back to this match. Again, it was Drew and Sheamus against the Vikings. Drew and Sheamus went after them right out of the gate, beat them up all over ringside. The Vikings got the advantage on Sheamus, though. Ivar did a running splash against Sheamus into the barricade, heading into the first commercial break. After the break, Sheamus made the tag to McIntyre, and eventually they got him down as well. Drew made a comeback. He got Ivar up on the ropes. He was setting up for a superplex. Eric stopped it. Sheamus came in. He dropped Eric with White Noise. McIntyre, who was upside down in the corner in a tree of woe, used his core strength to muscle himself up. He grabbed Ivar, and he flung him overhead down to the mat. All four men were down, leading into the second break on the show. Later on, Sheamus was setting up for the bro kick to Eric when Valhalla jumped up on the apron for the distraction. It worked. Eric took out Sheamus, made the tag. Ivar came off the top with a huge splash. Not quite the tsunami splash of Bronson Reed, but I wouldn't want to be laying there if I saw somebody as big as Ivar coming off the top rope on me. Sheamus, though, kicked out at 2.5. Eric and Ivar, they had Sheamus all to themselves. And they tried for something. Sheamus, though, got out of it. Ivar came off the middle rope for a springboard. Ate a knee to the face from Sheamus. McIntyre got into the ring. He mowed down Eric with a Claymore kick. Sheamus, who was still the legal man then, finished off Ivar with the bro kick. Got the pin, and that sent the Banger Bros, that is their tag team name, the Banger Bros into the next round to meet either Hit Row or Los Lotharios. We would find out who later on in the show. Good match. One of two good matches in this tournament on this show in the first round, although they had two commercial breaks in this match. That was a long match. I mean, the match went about 17 or 18 minutes, but two commercial breaks, you know, it hurt the match. It hurt the flow of the match, but overall I thought this was a good match. Backstage, Sami Zayn was very concerned. And he wanted to know if Roman Reigns had a quick second to talk to him. Roman, who had his back, he was sitting down, he had his back turned to Sami. Never looked at Sami. He just said, sit down. Sami said that he couldn't help but notice the greeting in the parking lot earlier was a little frosty. And he was concerned. He wanted to make sure everything was cool. Roman said, you know, I saw the look on your face last week. So tell the truth. What's going on? And what he's referring to is when they laid out Kevin Owens at the end of the show. Sami had that concerned look on his face. So Sami said, everything's fine. And Roman cut him off and said, no. I said, tell me the truth. Sami admitted he was a little disappointed last week. He took a lot of pride in that Roman put him in a position to take care of the KO problem all by himself. You remember, Sami had him dead to rights with the Huluva kick when the Usos ran in and interfered in the match. And that's why Sami was upset. And he said he felt a little bit slighted by that. He said, Kevin Owens is always talking about how you're being used by the bloodline. And for a split second, he said, and then he stopped himself, and he said, no, that's fine, it's fine. And Roman told him to get out, and this took Sami by surprise. And again, he wouldn't even turn around to look at Sami. He told him to get out. He said, you know, it blows his mind that the tribal chief is expected to run his game plan by other people, that he has to run his game plan by the honorary Oos. He goes, when did this start? Why do I have to ask permission to do what I do? And he said, go hang out with Kevin. Go start your own bloodline. Just get out of here. And Roman said, wise men. And Paul Heyman, who is great at being Paul Heyman in these segments, and he, you know, acting so nervous, not knowing when Roman would lose his temper here. Heyman pointed where the door was and politely asked Sami to please leave, which he did. So Sami, very interesting in this promo here where he made mention, he referenced the fact that Kevin Owens has brought up the point that these people are using you. You need to wake up. A moment of clarity almost there for Sami Zayn in this segment. First time that we've seen him acknowledge that. I like Roman turning it back on Sami. If you'll notice what he did here in this segment, you know, he turned it back on Sami that Sami was the one using the bloodline. Because he had a line about that in here where he almost made it sound like, you know, maybe you're using us when we know, you having watched these segments now for the last 6 or 7 months, that it's exactly the opposite. And they've been stringing this guy along and using Sami the entire time. It was interesting for him to kind of turn it back around on him. So some mind games there from Roman Reigns. But I like that we're finally, you know, we're moving on here to the next chapter. We're getting closer to what I think we all know is coming. LA Knight was out next for a match with Ren Jones. I don't know how you spell that, if it's W-R-E-N or if it's R-E-N. They didn't give him a graphic. But Ren Jones, I wanted to give him some, you know, some play here. Because most people are going to talk about this match and say it was LA Knight against the Jobber. It was LA Knight against some random dude. The man's name is Ren Jones. We're going to be hearing about that name, I'm sure, for many years to come. Hell, he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day. Not for this match here tonight. So before the match, LA Knight gets on the mic. And he's going to cut a promo here on Bray Wyatt. He says, can someone help Bray Wyatt figure out what the hell's going on? He said, one week he's not Uncle Howdy. The next week, I am Uncle. He does the voice. He's fucking great when he does the voice. Like, I am Uncle Howdy. He goes, I am him. He goes, huh? What? He says, I can tell you who I am. He goes, LA Knight. And what that means is I'm the guy at the Royal Rumble that's going to make you think maybe I shouldn't have come back. Because while you've been living check to check on past glory, he said, walk on into the LA Knight bank and find out that those checks aren't worth trash. Because whether it's pitch black or broad daylight at the Royal Rumble, I will off your on switch. Just like that. That's not an insult. That's just a fact of life. So as the match started, we got some Wyatt video glitches on the Tron, all the LED boards, which briefly distracted LA Knight, but very quickly he came back. He hit his blunt force trauma finish for the quick win. After the match, we got the old Firefly Funhouse introduction with the music and everything. And it was like 2020 all over again. We saw Abby the Witch, and we saw Mercy the Buzzard, and we saw Huskus the Pig, and we saw Ramblin' Rabbit. And there was Bray Wyatt. He had his back turned to us. He was dressed like a handyman. He was fixing the door. He was showing plumber's crack, which thankfully they took the Bray Wyatt moth logo and they placed it right over the crack. Crack kills. That's true. Thankfully, we didn't have to see that. So then he turned around to address all of us. And he said, pardon the dust. It's been a bit of a mess here. It's been a while. It's been a while. Because I can't wait to have fun with my friends here once again. And Ramblin' Rabbit started talking, and Abby the Witch told him to shut the fuck up. I kind of wish Abby the Witch would tell that to Bray Wyatt sometimes. So the rabbit said that he was nervous about this pitch black match at the Royal Rumble. I guess he doesn't like being in the dark. So Funhouse Bray made fun of his parent, LA Knight's parents, naming him Los Angeles Knight. And then Bray told the rabbit that it's actually normal for him to be afraid of the dark. They played this really sappy music in the background. I don't know what they do today on these modern sitcoms, most of which suck. But if you grew up a child of the 80s or a child of the 90s, a lot of those old sitcoms, there would come a point in the episode, especially if you had, parents, or like a family-based sitcom, where the father would have a conversation with the child. And they would play this really sappy music in the background. It was like the moral of the episode, right? That's the kind of music they played here because Bray Wyatt was about to teach Ramblin' Rabbit a very important lesson here on the Firefly Funhouse. And he said, it's normal for you to be afraid of the dark because in the dark, that's where things like to hide under your bed. And that's where things come out. At night while you're sleeping, things that want to eat you. By the way, this is not good advice to give a child who is afraid of the dark. Bray Wyatt, well, I wouldn't want to be Bray's kid. That's not what I want to hear as I'm little 8-year old. if I'm still afraid of what's under the bed at 8, then I'm doing this parenting thing wrong. But if I was like 5 or 6, I wouldn't want to be 5 or 6-year-old Solomon Monster, getting this speech from Funhouse Bray. He said, now that I think about it, and he turned to the camera at that point, he said, you should be afraid of the dark. And then on the television set in the Firefly Funhouse, we got a new Uncle Howdy video. Uncle Howdy said, I told you so. All you needed was a little push. Back to the funhouse, we saw Bray standing there looking directly into the camera. He's looking all serious, right? And he told LA Knight, I hope you're satisfied. I hope you understand. You were the one that opened the door. Now, whatever comes through, it is your problem. He said, see you at the Royal Rumble. And then Bray got happy again. And he waved goodbye to all of us. Bye! Right? And then they played the music, and that was the end of the Firefly Funhouse. The fans popped. When they first went to the Funhouse, we could still hear the live crowd. And they popped for the Funhouse. I think they popped for it. I mean, look, with this show, you never know, right? With the way they pipe in noise on this fucking show, we saw it later on with in the Charlotte segment with Sonya Deville. But I assume people in the building popped and were happy to see the Funhouse because it's been a while. So, based on this, you would have to assume that at the Royal Rumble, we are going to see The Fiend. The Fiend is directly tied into all this Funhouse stuff. And they've already dropped little hints about The Fiend anyway. So, it seems like we're going to get The Fiend probably at the Royal Rumble, which could be a very bad thing for LA Knight. I don't just mean kayfabe-wise. But the real star here, honestly, the real star of this was LA Knight. This guy is money on the microphone. And I've been saying it for a long time. I was saying it the entire time he was in NXT. And I couldn't understand it because, you know, Knight, he's my age. Okay? And look, I consider myself to be a nice young man, but not as young as I used to be. Neither is LA Knight. And they sent him to NXT, and he spent quite a while there. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, you're wasting potentially the last great years of this man's career. Whatever he can give you, now is the time to take a chance on him. Put him on TV. He could be a babyface. He could be a much better heel. They could certainly use him on one of these two shows. And instead, he was down in NXT, and I said, you know, there's no reason for him not to be on one of the main shows. And we've only been able to see glimpses of it so far because we haven't seen a lot of him, and he's been involved in a lot of the Bray stuff and some of these, you know, kind of hokey segments. But what you see here in a segment like this in the promo he cut before this match, the guy is money on promos. He's got main event promo skills. And I honestly, I'm more interested in what they do next with him coming out of the Rumble and coming out of this pitch black match. I'm more interested to see what they do with him heading into WrestleMania than I am Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt will have his role. He'll have his spot at WrestleMania. I don't know what they're... Yeah, maybe they'll do something with him and Karrion Kross. I tend to think that that's the direction we're going in here. Karrion Kross is going to work with Rey Mysterio next week. I could see that being a direction for Bray at WrestleMania, Wyatt and Kross. I'm more interested to see what they have in mind for LA Knight. Because LA Knight is somebody who could be doing a lot more than he's doing right now. You know, he could be a breakout star on this roster in 2023. But you got to see glimpses of that tonight in the pre-match promo. One thing I mentioned earlier, a little update about the Pitch Black match, which we still really do not know a whole lot about. We know that it's no rules, no disqualification. I mean, we know that. Fightful reported earlier today that the Pitch Black match at the Royal Rumble is going to have, and I quote, neon elements to it. Now, exactly what that means, we don't know. I'm hopeful that means it will not be pitch black in the building and that, you know, we'll have neon lights strategically placed throughout the building or the ringside area. I don't know exactly what that means, other than there will be neon elements to this match at the Royal Rumble. Let there be light. As long as there is enough light here so we're not wrestling in the dark, we're not wrestling in the old Fiend red light, God, I hope not, then that sounds good to me. So that is the update on the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match coming up at the Royal Rumble. Neon element. I like neon. I like neon lights. I was thinking about buying one actually here for the room. I'm a big fan of neon. Maybe I'll wear neon one night. Buy myself a neon jacket. You know, Chris Jericho used to have the light up jacket. How do you think that would look? I'll turn the lights out in here. I'll have my neon jacket on. I'll look like Spaceman, Starman. Hit Row against Los Lotharios in another first round match in the tag team tournament. We had the Lotharios here doubling up on Ashanti the Adonis early on. They dumped him with a double suplex. Ashanti fired back. He dragged Angel to the corner so he can tag in Top Dollar. So the action spilled outside. Top Dollar then yelled at Michael Cole, who took another pot shot at him on commentary about keeping his feet on the ground and not going aerial in this match. I guess Top Rope Dollar must have heard him, and he went over and he yelled at Michael Cole. And then he gave a giant chop to the chest of Angel. Back in the ring, Angel got the tag from Humberto. He took out Adonis with a somersault back elbow. He sent Adonis out of the ring with a kick. Both Lotharios then dove onto Hit Row at ringside. B-Fab provided the distraction that led to Ashanti the Adonis rolling up Humberto for the pin. Shout out to Andrew, who was watching the stream on vacation from Hong Kong. I'm very jealous of you, Andrew. It's been 3 years since I have taken a vacation. So enjoy your vacation for me. This sucked. Not you. I'm talking about the match. This sucked. And they can pipe in all the boos they want to, as they did here in this match. These people were clearly sitting on their hands for the 2.5 minutes this match lasted, which is, you know, that's the best thing I could probably say about it. That opening first round match that we had went almost 20 minutes, but it was very good. They could have easily gone, you know, 10 or 12 minutes here. Thank God they did not. They kept it brief, and that's the best thing I can say about this. But Hit Row moves on. They re-aired the final Cody Rhodes video from Monday night with Cody Surgeon, who, I don't know if I'm the only one to pick up on this, but if you watch that segment back, watch that third and final Cody Rhodes video back, close your eyes as you hear his surgeon talking at the beginning of the video, and it sounds just like Bruce Pritchard. Like, if I would have been watching that segment and I had my eyes closed, or if I was cleaning and doing something else and I had it on in the background and I heard that guy's voice, I would think to myself, why is Brother Love operating on Cody Rhodes? He sounded just like him. So that, you know, they showed in the video highlights of him training and preparing for his comeback, and he made the official announcement that he entered himself into the Royal Rumble match. Cody Rhodes is officially coming back at the Royal Rumble, which, if you've been paying attention, you would have been able to figure that out a long time ago. And everybody was so upset. How come they didn't keep it as a surprise? It ain't a surprise to any of us who have been paying attention. It would not have been much of a surprise. It's been pretty clear he was going to be back for the Royal Rumble for several months now. The SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair, was out next. Out to the ring for a promo, dressed in a 1992 Ric Flair Royal Rumble-esque robe. I loved it. As soon as I saw the robe, I said, I know that robe. I'm sure it's not the robe, but I know that robe. I know that robe quite well, in fact. Yesterday was the 31-year anniversary of the greatest Royal Rumble match of all time. There's the Bane Super Chat. What are you doing today, Batman? The Batman. The Batman is here. Yes, that was Bane from The Dark Knight Rises. Who was that? Was that Bobbert Reviews? First one to break the seal on the new $18 Super Chat. Thank you, Bobbert. I'll be bebopping to your Super Chat here in a little bit. That's exactly what Bane sounds like. So yes, Charlotte Flair was out there in a very 92-esque Rumble robe. Charlotte says she can't understand why Sonya Deville is so upset with her, and she called Sonya down to the ring. And Sonya came out. Yes, I made it a super. You told me to make it a super chat. I am but a humble servant here. And so I said, it shall be done. I act quickly on these things. I sounded like Kenny from South Park. Maybe a little bit. The Uncle Saudi. There is an Uncle Saudi super chat. It's a random one, so you never know when it's going to pop up. Maybe Uncle Saudi will join us tonight if we get more super chats. But anyway, she called out Sonya. So Sonya Deville comes out, and she says that she wants a title match, but she said to Charlotte, "You don't think I'm worthy, do you?" And she said, every time that I walk through that curtain, I'm a star. And she says, when I speak, we being the fans, all shut our mouths and listen. Last week, it took 6 people to pull her off of Charlotte in their little backstage brawl. And she says to Charlotte, are you just so entitled that you don't see it? That you don't see that I deserve a championship match? Charlotte offered to fight her right here in Detroit. And so, predictably, like most of the heels on this show, when they are presented with an opportunity to get exactly what they want, to get...
with a tear in my eye!
Speak of the devil, there it is. 1992. Ric Flair Royal Rumble Super Chat from Uffman. So, predictably, she said, no, I'm not going to do it. But she said, you know, I'm not going to do it because there's nothing in it for me. Unless you put your title on the line and you make it a championship match. So Adam Pearce came out to put a stop to all this. And as Charlotte turned to look at Adam Pearce in the aisle and she was distracted, Sonya Deville decided to take a cheap shot, knocked down Charlotte with a punch, and she left the ring. And that was it. That was the segment. This was lame, lame, lame. Very lame. Are we supposed to be excited? Is the point of this that we are dying to see Charlotte Flair get her hands again on Sonya Deville? Because if that's the point here, then they're failing miserably. I don't see how we're supposed to get excited about seeing this match again at all. Now, I will say that Sonya does a good job when she goes out there of getting heat, if the heat is genuine. Because again, it's just there are times on this show where it is patently obvious that they're just piping shit in. And I find it to be distracting. I would like to know whether or not this woman is actually getting real heat or not. I don't want to have to sit here wondering, wait, is that real or is that my imagination? But it seems like when she goes out there, she gets, you know, pretty decent heat. But why would anybody be excited to see this again? You know, the women's division on SmackDown, it is painfully obvious right now. It is just incredibly boring. And putting the SmackDown Women's Champion... Now, Ronda Rousey was doing a terrible job. So, on the one hand, it's kind of like, be careful what you wish for, right? Ronda Rousey loses the SmackDown Women's Championship. But it goes right back to Charlotte Flair. There is nothing about the way she talks, about the way she acts, about the way she carries herself, that is any different than the last time we saw her on TV. Nothing. But now she's supposed to be a babyface. The problem is, she is not a babyface. She's not. And she shouldn't be. So, she's been back now for a few weeks, and it has done nothing to make the SmackDown Women's segments or the SmackDown Women's division on the show, the championship, the main program, whatever that may be, it has not done anything to make that any more interesting than it was before when Ronda Rousey was the champion. Not that I'm begging for Ronda Rousey to get the belt back. I'm just saying, we're no better off now than we were a month ago. So these segments are some of the segments that I have grown to look forward to the least on this show every Friday night. That's a problem. They have to do something to address that. They have to get her into a program with somebody and get something going here that can try to get me interested in wanting to see this championship heading into WrestleMania. What is going to be the SmackDown Women's Championship program? I've said that they could do something with Raquel and Charlotte. Maybe they will. Maybe there'll be a new face that pops up on this show. But they're going to have to do something. Because right now, what they're doing here, this is just not interesting. We go backstage to the Bloodline locker room. Paul Heyman told Roman Reigns, I never liked Shmooley. But as the special counsel, he says, maybe tonight, since we're about to go out there and sign this contract for this match with Kevin Owens at the Royal Rumble, maybe it's better to have him being Sammy, in the castle, pissing out, than outside the castle, pissing in. And Roman Reigns was sitting there and reflecting on what Paul Heyman just said. See, this is why they call him the wise man. This is why. We got another Lacey Evans in-ring training vignette. She was beating up a bunch of women. They are now calling this Operation Cobra Clutch. I'm calling it Operation Change the Channel. We got another tag team tournament match with the Brawling Brutes against Imperium. This was the other really good tag team match on this show. And Michael Cole, before the match started, when the Brawling Brutes made their entrance, because I was thinking after Drew and Sheamus won earlier tonight, and I saw the bracket, which I'm going to show you the completed, well, not the completed, but the updated bracket in a little bit. But when I saw the bracket, I said, okay, maybe we're going to get Drew and Sheamus against Butch and Ridge Holland in the finals. That seems like the likely outcome here. And then Michael Cole on commentary said, you know, if the Brawling Brutes win here, we could very well end up with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus against the Brawling Brutes. And I said, well, that's not happening. So way to go there spoiling that. After a break, Ridge Holland got the hot tag from Butch, who was really good in this match. I know I'm not breaking new ground here by telling you that Pete Dunne is a really good pro wrestler, but I feel it needs to be said every now and then that Pete Dunne is really good. And he was really good in this match. So Ridge Holland caught Kaiser with a running power slam. Butch hit a moonsault off the apron onto Giovanni Vinci. Vinci then threw Ridge Holland into the ring steps. Inside, Butch got the ankle lock on Kaiser, switched over to an armbar. Kaiser dragged Butch to his side of the ring. Vinci got the tag, hit a moonsault for a near fall. Butch knocked Vinci off the apron, and Kaiser took advantage and kicked Butch in the back of the head. As Butch, like he was knocked out, as he fell forward, very slowly fell forward off the apron, Vinci caught him in a vertical suplex position and held him there for a couple of seconds, and then he dropped him straight down with a brainbuster on the floor. Back inside, Imperium hit their Imperium bomb finish on Ridge Holland and pinned him. So, Imperium moving on to the semifinals of this tournament. Like the opener, a very good match. And there, there's your final match. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus against Imperium. And really, you can't go wrong with either one of those teams. Pretty clear to me, though, that's the finish to this tournament that we are headed towards. In the back, sad Sami Zayn was sitting on top of one of the equipment cases, sulking, when Paul Heyman walked up to him. And Paul Heyman told him that his tribal chief would like to see him now. And Sami took a deep breath as they faded to the break. We got a long promo video, actually really cool, with a lot of classic highlights from Monday Night Raw over the years. This was to preview Raw 30, which is coming up on Monday night, 30th anniversary episode of Monday Night Raw. These are the legends that they are now advertising for the show on Monday. Hulk Hogan has been added to the show. We haven't seen Hulk Hogan on WWE television since WrestleMania 37, when Hogan was out there with his good buddy Titus O'Neil. So Hulk Hogan will be on television, as well as Ric Flair, The Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle, Diamond Dallas Page, Road Dogg, X-Pac, The Godfather, who I think just got a hip replacement or a knee replacement or something, Ted DiBiase and IRS, Jerry Lawler, Jimmy Hart, Teddy Long, and Alundra Blaze. Those were the legends that were listed here in this graphic. Conspicuous by their absence, even though they were shown on Monday, the Bella Twins were nowhere to be found in this graphic, which means, I guess, that the Bella Twins will no longer be appearing on Raw 30 this Monday. Here, it'll be a new super chat. This is Sad Solomonster. There you go. We have disappointed Solomonster for the $5. Now we got Sad Solomonster. I'm sure you're all devastated by this development. I will tell you that PW Insider, little spoiler here, PW Insider is advertising that Lita will be on Raw Monday night. They did not have Lita in the graphic, but according to PW Insider, Lita will be there on Monday. Which makes me wonder if we might also get a Trish Stratus appearance, perhaps. I don't know. I can't say that I'm devastated by the Bellas no longer appearing, if that is the case, that the Bellas are no longer appearing on Raw. I get flashbacks to Brie Mode. If you remember my horrible MRI story from many years ago, I have PTSD when it comes to that. So hearing that music, I don't know what kind of reaction in me that might trigger. So I'm fine with them not making an appearance on the show. We got a Karrion Kross promo backstage with Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett Bordeaux. Hey, I'll tell you what. If Karrion Kross starts showing up with Scarlett Johansson, you strap that fucking world title on this guy and you'll do okay. It'll be hard not to get over with Scarlett Johansson in your corner. So Karrion Kross and Scarlett are backstage. They're talking about his match next Friday on SmackDown with Rey Mysterio. He says, usually I get really amped up before a big fight, but not this time. Because Ray can't figure out whether he wants to be a family man or if he wants to be the greatest of all time. He said, in this business, you can't be both. So he's going to take him out. And he's going to take out 29 other men in the Royal Rumble match. He says, time is running out for everyone. Tick-tock. Perfectly fine, well-produced, slick-looking vignette. Nothing wrong with it. They actually had a series of these types of vignettes all throughout the show. In the back, one with Braun Strowman, one with Shayna Baszler, where it was just them, you know, backstage for 30 seconds, looking into the camera, talking about how they're going to win their Royal Rumble match. We had one last tag team tournament first round match with Legado del Fantasma, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro taking on Maximum Male Model. And the male models were briefly in control. Escobar gave Del Toro and Joaquin Wilde a little pep talk. Santos Escobar was out there with them. Wilde and Del Toro took over and sent the models out to the floor. Wilde and Del Toro went for a double suicide dive, but Massé was out of place. So Joaquin stopped in his tracks. He looked for Massé, found him on the other side of the ring, and then Wilde took him out with him. Legato hit their running kick slash side Russian leg sweep finish on Mansoir to advance to the semifinal round. I mean, come on. Did you expect a different outcome here to this match? I mean, please. So as promised, let me show you what the current updated bracket looks for this SmackDown Tag Team Title Contenders Tournament. We have Drew McIntyre and Sheamus are going to be facing Top Rope Dalla and Ashanti the Adonis in the semifinals. And on the other side of the bracket, we have Imperium going to be taking on Legado del Fantasma, which actually should be a very good match. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus against Hit Row will not be a very good match, but we win either way because we're either getting Drew and Sheamus against Imperium, which is, I'm pretty sure that we're going to get that, or Drew and Sheamus against Legado. So at least we know that the finals of this tournament is going to be a pretty kick-ass match. Although they did not say when that would be. So I assume the two semis will be next Friday, I would assume. And then the finals would be, I don't think at the Rumble, I would think on SmackDown the following week, probably in 2 weeks. So that's probably what we're looking at here. You know, Marchese, I have been saying that for weeks, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I haven't seen anybody else mention it, although I can't say that I've been watching everybody. But I've been saying for weeks, I think Top Dollar, he moves around like fucking Andre the Giant, you know, the year before he died. I mean, am I the only one who sees this? He lost a whole bunch of weight, too, so it's kind of weird to me that He has slimmed down a little bit. He lost a whole bunch of weight, 100 pounds, something like that. But he moves around like he's, you know, crippled up, like he's got severe knee problems. So I don't know what's going on there. But no, you are not the only one to notice that. When we see Top Rope Dalla out there, it is kind of painful, actually, to watch him move around in the ring. So backstage, Sami Zayn came into the Bloodline locker room for one last meeting here with Roman Reigns. He moves gingerly. That's a very polite way of saying he moves around like Andre the Giant a year before he fucking died. Yes, he moves around gingerly. This week's episode is sponsored by our friends at Raycon. The new year is here, and I know some of you might be making changes in 2023, like finally joining a gym or going back to the gym. I know this because I never had an issue finding a parking spot at my gym until the last 2 weeks. All those New Year's resolutions. And I know that for me, I can't do cardio without my music. Right? Nothing like some War Machine by Kiss to get my heart rate up. The fact is, a good pair of wireless earbuds is a must. And for premium audio at the perfect price point, you've got to go with Raycon. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With their optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, they're comfortable, and most importantly, they have yet to fall out of my ears. That would be a deal breaker for me. And these have passed the test so far. I also love their noise isolation, which lets me block out outside noise. And their earbud tap functions make them very convenient to use. Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. And they're priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. I was in the market recently for new earbuds when my last pair from another brand crapped out on me. I ended up using these Raycons, and I've been enjoying them. I especially like the fact that I could use my existing QI pad and just drop the case on it for wireless charging, so I don't have to buy another QI pad. I don't have to bother with any cables and plugging it in. I just dropped it right on there and boom, it was charging. So here's what I need you to do. Go to buyraycon.com/solomonster today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/solomonster to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/solomonster and use the code solomonster at checkout to get yourself 15% off. So Roman tells Sammy to take a seat. Says, you know, it's no secret, I've got a temper. Apparently, I wasn't hearing you. I wasn't listening to you. He goes, you just wanted communication. You wanted to be part of the team. You're a perfectionist, like me. You don't get to become the GOAT without getting all the little details right. I mean, that's why this thing works, right? And Sammy agreed with him, said that it means the world to hear him say that. Roman says that sometimes he just expects the same amount of love and respect and loyalty that he gives out to others. And Sammy told him, don't say that, because we love you. This thing doesn't work without you. You're the tribal chief. This ship doesn't work without you. And he goes, I will, this is Sammy now, I will always put bloodline business ahead of anything else. I will always do what is best for the bloodline. Anytime, anything, whatever you want me to do, you just tell me and I'll do it. And Roman told Sammy, I need you to go find the Usos. I need you to make sure that the SUVs are in place. I need you to call up the pilots and make sure the jet is fueled up and ready to go. He said that me, Solo, and the wise man, we're going to go to the ring, we're going to sign the contract, and then let's get out of here. And Sammy said that he would take care of it. He thanked Roman, he stood up, and he put his fist out. Just like he did at the beginning of the show tonight when Roman gave him the cold shoulder. He put his fist out for a fist bump, and Roman stared at it. And this time Roman looked up because he was sitting down. And this time he looked up at Sammy, and he said, I owe you one of And he returned the fist bump, and you can hear the fans in the building. They cheered when they saw that. So off Sammy went. As they cut back to ringside, we see all the ringside crew people, whatever. The ringside crew people. I wonder when they apply for those jobs, if that's what it says. You know, they go on Monster, and they have the positions listed, and it says ringside crew person. Like, what would you call those people? Ringside attendant, I guess. Anyway, they're rolling out the very spiffy-looking black carpet in the ring for the contract signing segment, which is coming up next. And then it was time for the contract signing. Adam Pearce was already in the ring. They had the table in the ring. They had the contract in the ring. Contract signing for the Undisputed Universal Championship match at the Royal Rumble between Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. or Roman Reigns. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm thinking of the Elimination Chamber. Roman Reigns and Kevin. I mean, see, I'm ready for Montreal, man. I'm ready for it. If they don't do Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn at the Elimination Chamber, I don't know what the fuck we're doing here. But before we can get there, we've got Roman and KO first. Kevin Owens. So Roman Reigns makes his entrance. He's got Solo Sikoa with him. He's got the wise man, Paul Heyman. And Roman sits down and he kicks his feet up on the table. He's waiting for KO. When all of a sudden, Kevin Owens, a wild Kevin Owens, appears from out of nowhere with his Jay Briscoe armband on. And he pulls Sikoa out of the ring. He gets into the ring. He gives Roman Reigns a stunner. The Usos show up. Owens super kicked both of them. Made them look like clowns. Right on cue, we have Bully the Clown. It's almost like he heard me. And he decided to pop up on screen. It's very eerie. Bobbert! Thank you for the $30, man. Again, I'm going to be reading your super chats here in a little bit, so get them on in. We're almost done here. So as I said, the Usos showed up, and Owens super kicked both of them. He tossed Jimmy into the crowd. He tossed Jay into the ring steps. Owens got back in the ring, and he picked up Roman Reigns, and he sent him into the ropes, and he caught him with a pop-up powerbomb, and he put him through the table with the pop-up powerbomb to a huge reaction. People love this. This was great. This was great. This was Kevin Owens getting one over on Roman Reigns and the Bloodline for a change. Paul Heyman, in the meantime, he was in the corner. He was wailing. He was in the corner. He was screaming. He had both championships. He had the contract in his hand, and he was cowering in the corner as Kevin Owens slowly turned to look at Heyman. Heyman at one point said, I'm a father. Don't bleed, please. I'm a father. Owens ripped the contract out of Heyman's hand, and he signed it. Finally, Sami Zayn appears. And Sami Zayn is on the apron looking at KO. He looks furious. Owens tossed the contract at Sami. He left through the crowd. Owens then, from the crowd, looks back at the ring, staring at Sami. Sami is looking up at Owens in the crowd as they went off the air. So Sami Zayn got sent away like a little errand boy, and he was not there to protect the tribal chief and to save the tribal chief. But he was the last one to show up, which probably doesn't bode well for him. Unless, what a swerve it would be if in the end we come to find out that Owens and Zayn were just in on it the entire time. I don't mean 6 months. I'm talking, you know, post-war games when this program with Reigns and Owens started, you know, to get going. And weeks and weeks and weeks ago when Owens first mentioned the fact that you're being used by these guys, wouldn't it be something to come to find out that these two have been working together this entire time? Now, it wouldn't make much sense. We just saw them have a match on TV last week, Owens against Zayn. And they absolutely need to do the dramatic breakup with Sami and the Bloodline on TV. I mean, this has been building for months. You can't deprive us of what could end up being one of the best television segments this company has ever done. So we have to get that in the end. I don't think that's what's going on here. I'm just saying, wouldn't that be wild? So another SmackDown where the Bloodline story is what carried it. We got a couple of good tag team matches. And a bunch of shorter matches, including the LA Knight one, which was more to set up the whole Firefly Funhouse return. Now, I would say a solid effort overall, not a great show. I mean, look, I put the poll up. We're going to go to the poll here in a second. And I had already seen comments, great show, great show, great show. If you thought it was a great show, that's fantastic. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I didn't hate the show. You know, I like the show, but this was not a great show. This was not overall a great show. The Bloodline stuff is great. There was really nothing else about the show that was great, but I thought it was solid. I thought it was solid. And as I keep saying, I keep thinking about what this show is going to look like 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, post-WrestleMania, when the Sami Zayn story has run its course. Yeah, there might still be a bloodline, but it's not the same. It's not what it was. Maybe they keep the bloodline together and there's a whole new chapter to the story involving someone other than Sami Zayn. We can get another 6 to 9 months out of the bloodline stuff. Although I feel like by then it will have run its course. But I wonder what the show is going to look like at that point, especially if there is no bloodline anymore. If they kind of go their separate ways, what do they have planned for SmackDown? Because when you take the bloodline stuff out of the equation here, it gets scary. So then you're wondering, are they going to do a post-WrestleMania draft, shake up the rosters? They think they might have to. Well, what does this show look like if you take this story out? What do you replace it with? I don't know. What can you possibly replace this with that would be as good as what we have been seeing with Sami in the blood? That's the big question for SmackDown as we barrel towards WrestleMania. Here's a Twitter poll. 65% of you have given this show tonight a thumbs up. 21% thumbs in the middle and 13% thumbs down. And I will agree with what Hunter just said in the chat. That's a very good point. Which is that one of the things about SmackDown that does make the show more, not must-see, but makes the show more enjoyable and an easier watch, is the fact that it's an hour shorter than Raw is. Raw most weeks is just insufferable. I'm sorry. It still is. But SmackDown is 2 hours, and it doesn't overstay its welcome, and it does help. It does help make the show a lot easier to watch than the show on Mondays. So that is a fair point. A lot of people might just prefer SmackDown, frankly, for that reason. They might just prefer the two-hour format to 3 hours, which I think is a fair point. And I would not disagree with you about that. But let's take a look at your Super Chats. I do thank you for supporting the channel and supporting what I do. So let's get into it here and see what you guys have on your mind. Starting with Jamie Dorsch, who I put over at the beginning of the stream. Jamie says, Stone Cold, and Jamie, by the way, not just for becoming a channel member, but thank you for the $20 drop here. Stone Cold Steve Austin won 3 Royal Rumbles. Which one was your favorite out of the three? 1997, 1998, or 2001? 2001, and it's not even close. 2001 is one of the better Royal Rumbles that they've ever done. Nick says, Kevin Patrick is also hurting Raw. He is so bad. The commentary is much better on SmackDown. Michael Cole and Pat McAfee, obviously they have a chemistry. I don't know when Pat's coming back. Michael Cole and Wade Barrett have been doing very well. I've enjoyed Wade Barrett's commentary. If they bring back Pat McAfee, I'm not sure what happens to Wade Barrett. But the SmackDown commentary is infinitely better than the Raw commentary. So that's another point. That's another very good point. It's another key distinction between the two shows. Did he really win the 97 Rumble? Well, yes. Officially, he did, yes. Did he cheat to win? Did Bret Hart get screwed? Yes, Bret Hart has been screwed so many times, I'm surprised he wasn't a streetwalker. But did he win the Rumble? In the record books, yes. Stone Cold Steve Austin did win the 97 Rumble. God of Seduction with the Super Chat. It has been 9 years since Brock Lesnar broke the streak. 9 years, huh? I know where I was when the streak was broken. Queen Firepanda, thank you for the 10 spot. Hey, Kurt O'Mac just dropped a $9.99 Baby Russo on a poll. There he is, everybody. There he is. Firepanda says, what if at the end of the year you pick out what you think are the 5 best matches from Be the Booker this year and then set up a poll where we can vote for match of the year for Sound Off Pro Wrestling in 2020? It's an idea. I would consider it. Shin Superkick Akuma, thank you, Shin, for the super chat. Chris Miner, Sammy and Roman issue can be solved with more popcorn. Popcorn does solve a lot of things. They seemed very happy a few weeks ago when they were eating their popcorn. Rob G, spinner belt did not spin for most of its existence. Good. Good. A belt should not spin. That is very dumb. Thomas, thank you for the $2. I'm sure there will be something. I would be very surprised if there wasn't. Bobby's World, 2110, who also gifted a membership to somebody earlier on. Thank you, Bobby. Homesick with the flu, but had to stop in and drop some love as always, trying very hard to look forward to the Rumble despite Vince being Vince. Yeah, I heard that there were office cuts going on today at Titan Tower. So it's funny to me. We didn't hear anything about firings and people being let go and office cuts in the last 6 months. Vince is back in the office and now we're hearing about office cuts. That's quite the coincidence. But anyway, so Bobby, look, it sucks that you have the flu. I'm sorry to hear that, but get some chicken soup. Chicken soup will always help. And get well soon. That sucks. So hopefully you will be on the mend soon enough. Mordecai McNasty, any chance the Lights Out match is cinematic? I don't think so. I don't think that people would be happy if they want, you know, a traditional Bray Wyatt end. Because really, Bray is all about the entrance. We haven't seen one single fucking Bray Wyatt match on television. He's been back for how many months now? Bray Wyatt right now is just an entrance. That's it. So you have to at least give people the entrance. I don't think that they would be very happy about, you know, there being a Bray Wyatt match and then finding out that it's all pre-recorded and there's nothing live happening in the building. So, no, I don't think it'll be cinematic, but I can't say that for sure because they haven't told us. Shawnee with the $4.99 super chat. Buy, rent, sell. The legs of Sid, Kevin Nash, and Vince, circa 2005. You could probably throw me on that list, too, with my little accident 5 years ago. I don't want to be any of those guys. It was bad enough going through what I went through, which was not nearly as bad as what they went through, but I don't want to be any of them. Brumakian Productions, here's how I would do a draft. All women on Raw and all tag teams on SmackDown. Mid-card and world titles would stay or switch brands. What do you think? No. I mean, they're never going to do it. They're never going to do it. You're not going to have all the women on one show and no women on the other show. They're not going to do that. It's not realistic. Mid-card and world titles would stay or switch brand. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the way it's going to work anyway. I mean, we'll see. There's no guarantee Triple H will do a draft. The belief was that there would be a draft post-WrestleMania. Post-WrestleMania, if Triple H is going to do a draft, that is the time to do a draft. You don't do a draft in October. You don't do a draft in November. You do it in April. You do it in May. You do it sometime coming out of WrestleMania. I don't know, you know, why it ever got to this point that they were doing them in October other than they wanted it as a gimmick for the whole season premiere, right? Because all these shows have their season premieres in the fall. But it's a terrible time before Survivor Series when it was always Raw versus SmackDown. It was always a terrible time to do a draft. Now that Survivor Series is no longer Raw versus SmackDown, now it's War Games, you know, it's not as much of an issue. But I still say post-WrestleMania would be the best time to do a draft. So Shawnee has a $4.99 super chat here. Is there a match in a rivalry that you consider to be underrated or overlooked that you consider to be the best of the rivalry? Mine is Punk and Cena, Night of Champions in 2012. A match in a program that was considered to be underrated or overlooked. I mean, now I got to think about programs. I don't know. That might be better as an email question. I need to think about all the different programs that I've seen over the year. I mean, there's none top of mind that I can give you. You know, if we look at John Cena and all the people that John Cena has feuded with, Cena and Edge, Cena. You know what? I'll give you a John Cena example. John Cena and Randy Orton. You know my thoughts on all the matches that John Cena and Randy Orton had over the years. They had a lot of matches together. They had a lot of pay-per-view matches together. One match that I don't think gets enough love is their Iron Man match from Bragging Rights, I believe it was, in 2009. They had an Iron Man match that actually I thought was very good. And it doesn't get talked about a lot. I think more people talk about the Breaking Point match. They had an I Quit match the month before that. And maybe some of their other matches together. But I don't know. I feel like their Iron Man match doesn't get as much support as it should. It's not the best Iron Man match, but it was a lot better than I expected it to be. You know, those matches are tough to do, to keep people's interest sustained for an hour. Bryan Danielson and MJF are going to contend with that when they have their match of Revolution. But I think that's a match that people sleep on. Maybe now, if they watch it back, they might have a better appreciation for it. Shawnee also says, favorite Friday the 13th. Mine is The Final Chapter. Also, Buy, Rent, Sell. Jason Goes to Hell, Jason X, and Jason Takes Manhattan. My favorite Friday the 13th is Part 3, which is where he got the hockey mask for the first time. And as far as Buy, Rent, and Sell, I'm going to buy on Jason Takes Manhattan. I'm going to rent on Jason X, and I'm going to sell on Jason Goes to Hell, which I really did not like. Jason X, it's a terrible movie, okay? I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that it's a good film. Jason X is a guilty pleasure. That is the very definition of a guilty pleasure. And it's just funny to me because it gets crapped on so much. Oh, it's Jason in space. It's ridiculous. It is, but I still like it. It's not a good movie, but I like it. And it has the best kill in the entire series. It has the best kill of all the Friday the 13th movies. Even though it's not called Friday the 13th, it is a Friday the 13th movie. That cryogenic face freeze kill, it's the best kill in the entire series. Easily. John B100, Rock only just found out that he couldn't try. I know, boy, you saw the update in The Observer this week. The Rock has informed WWE that he simply doesn't have enough time to get himself in the shape that he needs to be in. There's just not enough time left between now and WrestleMania. I mean, boy, it's almost as if he just found out that they wanted him for a match. It's hilarious. Don't be fooled. My guess is we'll be seeing The Rock in about a week. Josiah Ball, what's up, Solomonster? Is Vince McMahon returning at Raw 30 on Monday? I'm going to say no. I do think we'll see him back on TV, but I think this was this would be too soon. If he wants to be there, he'll be there. I would rather get Vince McMahon on Raw 30 in highlight clips. I'd like to remember the Mr. McMahon character. That was when Vince was at his best. Do I need to see Crypt Keeper Vince show up live on Raw Monday night? No, I have no interest in seeing him. None whatsoever. Fire Panda with a $10 super chat. So, some in the chat think the Fiend theme is better than Shattered. I think that Shattered is better than the Fiend's theme. What do you think is the better theme? And Fire Panda also says, wants to know who I am.
I'm the Solomonster, damn it.
That is who I am. As far as the better theme, they're both very good themes, right? They're both Code Orange, but the Fiend theme is better. I like the Fiend theme song better than Shattered, but they're both very good. Bobbert Reviews, first one to drop that brand new $18 Bane Super Chat. If The Rock is in the Royal Rumble, I hope that him and Cody do the Rumble 94 finish, where they both get eliminated at the same time and they both get a title match. Cody for the WWE title and Rock for the Universal title. I understand your logic. I hated the Rumble 94 finish. and I don't want to see it. We just had a... By the way, we just had a... boy, I'm losing my voice. We just had a Royal Rumble 94 finish on NXT 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, right? It was 2 weeks ago. So they just did it on their own television show in that women's battle royal with Toxic Attraction, you know, falling to the floor at the same time. I hated that finish in 94. I do not want to see that finish. And I also don't trust The Rock to do that finish, because The Rock has not been in the ring in many, many years. And he's older. And he's not as young as he used to be. And I don't know that I would trust him in a spot where the idea is that him and Cody have to go out over the top rope and hit the floor at the exact same time. I wouldn't trust him in that spot. So I actually don't think that is a good idea. Uffman Entertainment. See, Big Show agrees with me. Happy anniversary to the greatest Royal Rumble. Greatest Royal Rumble. One that Braun Strowman won with the ugly green belt. I send this super chat with a tear in my eye. Of course, he is referring not to the Saudi Arabia Greatest Royal Rumble. He is referring to the 1992 Royal Rumble. Huffman, you are a man of good taste. EJ says The Rock would tear all three ligaments in his knee and his Achilles if he tried to do that. I mean, think about it. Would you trust The Rock in a spot like that where you have to time it just right? Right, even Cody. Cody just is coming back from a very serious injury. But again, it's a spot that requires pinpoint precision. And I would not trust The Rock at this point in a spot like that. Look, they did a spot with The Rock at the Royal Rumble when he was over 20 years younger, where he wasn't supposed to, his feet were not supposed to hit the floor of Madison Square Garden, and they did. And he won the Rumble anyway, but he clearly touched the floor. His feet touched the floor. But Big Show got robbed. You're talking about Bret Hart getting robbed in 97? Big Show got robbed in 2000. It was so obvious they had to turn it into an angle on TV, and Big Show showed up on TV trying to talk to the McMahon-Helmsley faction. You know, I've got footage of what happened at the Rumble. He wanted to get into the WrestleMania main event, which ultimately he did. Groovy Goose with the $1.99. Did I ever go to WWF New York in Times Square? Not only did I go to WWF New York, I have a WWF New York mug. I feel like I'm one of the only people who has a WWF New York mug. Yes, I went to the restaurant many times. I probably went there, maybe 3 or 4 times. I went there once. They were taping Sunday Night Heat. They had a couple of people who at the time they had brought in to host Heat, a couple of soap opera stars. I don't fucking remember who they were. A couple of soap opera people who were co-hosting the show. I got on TV briefly. I don't remember what episode it was. It was sometime in 2000. I don't remember what episode it was. And then I went there a couple of other times. It was fun because you would walk in, and on that first level, when you walk in right off the street, you hear them, they're playing, wrestler theme music. And you walk into this giant merch store. So they have all of like the WWF shop merchandise. And then there were some steps, and you go down to the lower level. That's where the restaurant was. But they also had a stage, so they could have concerts there. But then the restaurant was there. And the one thing I remember about the restaurant, the food was good. Their burger was very good. I thought they had a very good burger there. So I was very sad when it went out of business. I enjoyed going there. As a wrestling fan, you go to a gimmick wrestling restaurant. I thought it was fun. But, real estate in the middle of Times Square, unless that restaurant is making money hand over fist, you're going to lose your ass on that. So it's not surprising to me that it went out of business so quickly. Slipper House, extra, extra, with the $4.99. Oh, there's the Chris Jericho. That's the face I made before. I don't think there's any actual direction for Bray Wyatt's character. This shit is pandering. LA Knight is the real star of the feud. LA Knight is the star of the feud. I wouldn't go in so hard on Bray. But LA Knight is the one who I see, you know, bigger things for him. Hey, Nemo Buddha just subscribed to the channel. Welcome, Nemo. Finding Nemo. We found him here on the Sound Up channel. Bobbert Reviews with the $30 super chat, just because we have at least one clown in this SmackDown stream. Yeah, you know, we didn't have the Strowman Express tonight. I don't know, maybe we'll get to see him next week. Kurt O'Mac, slowest to fastest. Thank you, by the way, for the $9.99. Slowest to fastest, 1989 Andre. Giant Gonzalez, Great Khali, and Top Rope Dollar. Oh, so you want me to rank them from the slowest to the fastest? Well, look. I mean, Khali was just awful. So, I would go Khali as the slowest. There's Perk Angle. I would go Khali, Giant Gonzalez, Andre, and Top Dollar. I guess if you force me to rank them, I guess that's how I would rank them. Rizzo with the $10 super chat. I wonder, now that Vince is back, will he bring back Jimmy Smith? Because Kevin Patrick is awful. By the way, I checked out that hog scene, and you have got some acting chops. I was actually disappointed because there was another cut that I actually thought was much better, and they didn't go with that one. So, but thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm very excited to get started. Got the next show coming up in a couple of weeks. First Hog Show of the new year, February 3rd. It's a Friday night, which means in a couple of weeks there will be no SmackDown stream, but it's just for the 1 week. Don't worry. Jamil says, Khali just posted a photo of him working out. Maybe he'll be in the Rumble. Oh, God. Are we going to get a Khali Omos spot in the Royal... Are we getting a Khali Omos spot in the Royal Rumble match? Lakers Pats. 92 Rumble or 01 Rumble. Also, Ted Turner buys WWE. LOL. 92 Rumble. I mean, how is that even a question? 92 Rumble. Rizzo, Ryback took a shot at Cross, and for a guy that preaches positivity, that guy sure doesn't put a lot of positivity out to the universe. It's funny how that works, isn't it? It's the ones who are always preaching that, man, more people need to be positive, you know? Who are the first ones to turn around and take shots at people. I noticed that Mr. Russo does that an awful lot. Every now and then, one of his tweets will pop up on my timeline. And it'll say something to the effect of, you know, turn the other cheek, or you know, can't we all just be nicer to each other? It'll be some kind of, like, positive message that he's trying to, you know, preach. But then there'll be another message at some point, you know, going after somebody or making fun of somebody. I mean, it's just, you know, fucking con men and shysters and just fucking bullshit artists. All over this platform. Ryback is no different. Nitty Gritty with the $4.99. If and when WWE gets sold, what changes and what stays the same? P.S. Anybody ever tell you that you look like a clean-shaven Bryan Danielson? No, I guess he would be the first. Well, Nitty might be new here, so... I shouldn't be too sarcastic with Nitty. Yes, I have been told that going back to when I was still going to Ring of Honor shows at the Hammerstein Ballroom. And I've told the story before. I used to go to those shows so often that the guys who, I don't know if they were wrestlers who were just ticket takers that night, or if they were actual security or what, but I would go in, they would rip my ticket, and they would always look at me and go, hey, it's Baby Dragon. They call me Baby Dragon. It would piss me off. So, yeah, it goes back a ways. If the company gets sold, no idea. It totally depends on who buys it. It's impossible. Nobody can answer that question right now. Nobody knows, which is kind of what makes it scary. You don't know what you're going to get, right? Everybody complains about Vince, and rightfully so, but we can end up with somebody owning this company who's far worse. I mean, you just don't know. So I can't accurately answer that question because we just have no idea what changes may or may not be made. Hey, Insecure Skeletor. I like your name. You're welcome. Insecure Skeletor. That sounds like a character from Robot Chicken. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Jason X is better than Halloween movies. Yeah, you know what? You can fuck right off. You can take that shit right out of here. Baby Dragon. They call me Baby Dragon. Mikayu Kramer with the $2 super chat. This Solomonster dude knows his wrestling stuff. He's not bad. He's all right. I think he's acceptable. EJ Slamp. Jason promoting Jason Takes Manhattan on Arsenio Hall is one of the best things ever. And tomorrow is the anniversary of my second favorite Rumble, 2001. Yeah, Jason on the Arsenio Hall show is perfect because he just sat there. He doesn't talk, right? So he just sat there and he stared, and Arsenio would ask questions and he got no response, and that was the whole interview. Keyshawn Johnson with the $4.99. When watching Muda against Nakamura, I got emotional during Nakamura's entrance. Has an entrance or a wrestling moment made you emotional? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there have been wrestling retirement speeches that have been pretty emotional. There have been wrestling comebacks that have been emotional. Look, when Edge announced his retirement in 2011, that was an emotional thing. When Bryan had his speech on Raw in 2016, which is one of the greatest speeches ever given on a wrestling show, ever. That was an emotional moment. Obviously, there have been tribute shows to wrestlers that have passed away that have been obviously very emotional. I still remember on the Eddie Guerrero tribute show when they played that video and they had Johnny Cash is hurt. I mean, you know, how do you not start crying when you hear that? But if I had to pick kind of a happy wrestling moment, and I've talked about this before, WrestleMania 7. After the Macho Man loses to the Ultimate Warrior, it's a career-ending match. Sherry turns against the Macho Man. Elizabeth is sitting in the crowd. She can take no more of this. She hops the barricade. And by this point, she hadn't been together with Savage on TV in 2 years. Probably two and a half years. She hops over the barricade, charges down to the ring, grabs Sherry, throws her down, reunites with the Macho Man. That's a story. You know, you talk about stories in wrestling, that's a fucking story. And it was just a great moment. It's a great moment. Dr. Dakota Scorpio just gifted another channel membership, and the lucky recipient was our boy, EJ Slim. See, that was his penance to pay for the super chat that he just sent. Apology accepted. Juan Ocampo going to send you weekly buy or sell for themes. Uffman Entertainment. The steak and ribs at WWF New York was the bomb. True story, me and my ex were there every first Saturday of the month to see or buy new merch. I never tried the steak or the ribs. I can only speak to the burger, and I think I may have had a grilled chicken sandwich there, and I thought the food was perfectly fine. I mean, it's not like Wolfgang Puck was making the meals or anything like that, but it was perfectly fine. Shawnee in the Wrestling with the $4.99. Do you have an underrated or favorite roster? Mine is WCW 92. You have Jake, Rude, Sting, Vader, Steiners, Austin, Hillman, Armstrong, Arn, and Eaton. Yeah, you know, that was a roster, a hell of a roster. You could even say WCW 93 as well. Do I have, like, a personal favorite roster? I mean, look, I'm obviously partial to the whole golden era when you had people like Hogan and Savage and Piper and DiBiase and Perfect and Rude and Jake and Demolition and the Hart Foundation and the Rockers and the Brainbusters. I can go on and on. I mean, to me, that's still a number one. You know, growing up as a fan of the you know, then WWF. Yeah, and that's to say nothing of the NWA roster they had back then, you know, for Crockett with Flair and Funk and Dusty and Nikita and Magnum and the Road Warriors and the Horsemen, Barry Windham. You know, those rosters are hard to beat. Those late 80s, early 90s rosters are hard to beat, but you know, you look at the Attitude Era, the top names in the Attitude Era, obviously that was a hell of a roster. The WWF roster in 2002 into 2003 was loaded with talent. Not only was it loaded with young, hungry talent, it was, you know, they had on top of the SmackDown 6, you also had the Hollywood Rock, and Hogan was there, and you still had The Undertaker and Jericho, right? You had those names, but then you had Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit and Brock Lesnar and Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas and just all of these different people. Rey Mysterio had just come in. 2007. Look at the WWF roster in 07. John Cena, Randy Orton, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Rey Mysterio, Ric Flair was still there, you know, on the roster. Batista, Eddie Guerrero. Well, Eddie was gone by that point, but it's an incredible collection of talent. So if I had to just pick one, I'm still going to be very partial to the golden era. Man, that 2002 into 2003 roster, it's hard to beat. That's a tough one to beat. WCW, look at their roster when they were on top at the peak of their success during the Monday Night War. They had all that international talent they brought in. And you had the cruiserweights. And then on top of that, you had all the big names. That's why they were so successful. They had a good mix. You know, you came for the Hogans and the Stings and the Goldbergs, but you stayed to watch Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho, people like that.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. I feel like after this week that we've had here, I need therapy. But I feel like I'm at my best when I am working and getting a lot of things done, right? And there was a lot to get done this week. I'm preparing for a podcast. I'm going through email questions. I'm checking things off my list. When I feel productive, when you're at your best, man, you can do great things. But sometimes life can kick you in the crotch and you can feel overwhelmed. You can feel frustrated. Working with a therapist can help get you closer to being the best version of you. And that is where BetterHelp can be empowering. Therapy is a great option because it can really help to just talk to somebody, whether it's about the coping skills that you need to deal with the things that you're going through or just learning how to be the best version of yourself, whatever it may be, the benefits of therapy are clear. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. If you've been thinking about giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It is convenient, affordable, and entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster.
Juan Ocampo, Cody and Goldust 2013 theme or Rated RKO theme? I don't know. I don't remember either one. And honestly, I am not a fan of these mixes they do where they'll take two wrestlers' theme songs and they'll kind of jam them together. Most of them end up sounding like shit. So I'm not really a fan of those, but I honestly don't remember their themes from those periods. Fire Panda, thank you for the super chat. Shawnee says, modern day managers that you like. I really like Prince Nana. He and Brian Cage have chemistry, and I thought he was great on that MILF or MILF. MJ, I thought that said MILF. MJF exchange this past. Why was I? What exchange were you talking about? No, on the MJF exchange this past Wednesday. Yeah, that was a good segment on Wednesday. So we're talking modern day managers. I mean, I know Paul Heyman doesn't like calling himself a manager, but I mean, ain't nobody better right now than Paul Heyman at what he does. Paul Heyman right now, I mean, that's the closest thing we got to a Bobby Heenan or a Jim Cornette in that role. I mean, so for all the Prince Nanas and the other, you know, good managers that may be out there, ain't none of them better than Paul Heyman. DEH Sires with the $4.99. What's going on, DEH? Would you do the bloodline turn on Sammy if Roman and Owens main event the Rumble or the week after the Rumble? If you do Royal Rumble, it could include blood. No, I mean, the blood thing isn't a TV thing. The blood thing is a WWE thing, so whether it's on television or pay-per-view is not going to make a difference. I can't imagine the Royal Rumble match does not headline the show. Because look, I mean, no matter whether it's Cody or if The Rock were to be in it and wins, in almost any situation, the men's Rumble should end the show. So the Sammy turn, I think, will happen on TV in between the Rumble and Elimination Chamber. And it should. I think that is going to be a big, big television segment and a great cliffhanger for SmackDown 1 week. I don't think it happens at the Royal Rumble. And I just think at the Rumble, it'll be overshadowed. I mean, that's such a big story. When we finally get that next chapter, when we get that payoff to it, it just needs to be the focus of whatever show it's on. It shouldn't just be a segment on a larger show that's going to be overshadowed by The Rock or Cody or Stone Cold or something else that might be happening on the pay-per-view. It needs to be the focal point. Fire Panda, hopefully you read this before Be the Booker starts. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker. We will get to Be the Booker because I know that you guys did smash the goal, which I very much appreciate. But keep hitting the like button anyway because we got to get this video in the recommendeds. DEH says, LA Knight against Stone Cold. Rhea against Bianca. Naomi against Charlotte. Damage Control against Becky. Lita and a mystery woman. For WrestleMania, what are your thoughts? LA Knight was an opponent I suggested for Stone Cold a few months ago. When the rumor first popped up about Austin and Cena, I had mentioned LA Knight and people jumped down my throat like, LA Knight. I'm like, yeah, LA Knight. I'm glad there's some other people who have common sense. Rhea and Bianca should be the only match as far as the Raw Women's title is concerned. Charlotte, Naomi, I'm not convinced Naomi is coming back before WrestleMania. Damage Control against Becky, Lita, and a mystery woman. I mean, would the mystery woman be Trish Stratus? Probably, right? I don't see another obvious match for Becky, so I think you may be onto something there. I think that they may go in that direction where they have Becky and a couple of partners. Because what else is Becky Lynch doing? Becky Lynch is not challenging Charlotte. Becky Lynch should not be challenging Bianca. Been there, done that. And apparently, they're not doing Becky and Ronda Rousey. So if that's the case, then what the hell else do you do with Becky Lynch? She's still one of your top stars in the company. Nick Grasso, do you think that Jay White and Nick Aldis will be surprise entrants in the men's Royal Rumble? Jay White will not be in the Rumble. Jay White is still under contract in New Japan. Nick Aldis, definitely a possibility. In fact, I think I even mentioned that in my predictions at the beginning of the year. Go back and listen to the podcast I did with my 2023 predictions on New Year's Day. I believe I mentioned Aldis, and I know I mentioned Stone Cold Steve Austin as a surprise in the Royal Rumble. Shawnee says, best year of WWE, 2015 to 2020. Thanks for answering all my questions tonight. Been a ton of fun. Mine is either 2016 or 2019. 19 mainly for Eco Daniel Bryan. 2016, I believe, is the year that SmackDown went on that hot streak. So even though that WrestleMania was, and I was at that WrestleMania, and it was not one of my favorites, I might have to go 2016. Rosquan Shabaka with the $2 super chat. Rosquan, thank you. Rizzo with the $10. I know you don't like to speculate on rumors, but LOL at Warner Brothers Discovery for banning Jay Briscoe and forbidding AEW to do a full tribute and having Dana White show. I'm going to be talking about that on Sunday. Don't you worry. Keyshawn Johnson, what's your honest thoughts on The Undertaker's overall career? And do you think he is Vince's greatest creation? And his chair shots are sickening. Yeah, The Undertaker had some of the sickest chair shots that I've seen. The one to Maven at the Royal Rumble, the one to Kennedy at Survivor Series. He had others too, but those are the two that really stand out to me. As far as The Undertaker's overall career, I think it speaks for itself. He's had one of the greatest careers of all time. He is absolutely Vince's greatest gimmick creation. I would say WrestleMania is probably his greatest creation, but as far as a gimmick or a wrestler, Undertaker is easily his greatest. The longevity that he had, being able to adapt the character over the years and change with the times, you know, to go from the Dead Man stuff to the Ministry stuff to, you know, the American Badass to Big Evil, back to kind of a Big Evil Dead Man hybrid, and then, you know, whatever the hell it was later in his career, the aging gunslinger. You know, his body of work will never be replicated. You know, he's a multi-generational talent. You know, he worked with all those big names. I was running down the rosters before, right? He worked with all those names from the Golden Era. He beat Hulk Hogan to win the WWF Championship at a time when Hogan didn't lose very often. He wrestled Hogan. He wrestled Savage, although it never aired on TV. He wrestled The Warrior. Again, it never aired on TV. He wrestled Flair. He wrestled all those guys. And then in the next era, he wrestled Brett. He wrestled Shawn. And he wrestled Diesel and Yokozuna. And then in the next era, he wrestled Rock. And he wrestled Austin. And he wrestled Mankind. And he wrestled Kane and The Big Show and Kurt Angle. And then it was the next era. Brock Lesnar. And it was the next era. I mean, It's incredible, the people that he stepped into the ring with, and to still be doing it at a high level when it came to WrestleMania 23, WrestleMania 24, WrestleMania 25, 26, 27, 28. Him and Punk had a very good match, the best match, at WrestleMania 29. It's an incredible run. There's nothing else I can really say. It's one of the greatest runs of all time. And Shawnee with the $4.99. Did you ever watch stuff from CWA/Memphis? Lawler, Dutch, Dundee were great and had storytelling that felt so... I don't know. It looks like he left the word out here. No, I didn't watch it at the time because I didn't have access to it. With the advent of YouTube, I've been able to go back and watch some old Memphis stuff. Memphis stuff where Vince McMahon came in 93 as a heel, and he sent other wrestlers there like Brett, Owen, and Tatanka. That was fun to watch. So yeah, I've been able to see Memphis stuff on YouTube, but did I watch it at the time? No. You know, being in New York, I had no way of watching it. I wasn't a tape trader or anything like that. Juan Ocampo... Kane's Slow Chemical or One of a Kind by the RVD song. Slow Chemical by Finger 11. And Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Could be wrong, but I think Undertaker is the only wrestler to beat Hogan for the WWF title twice if you count the Undisputed Championship. Well, let's see. Hogan had the title six times. Who beat him for it? Andre beat him once for it. Warrior beat him once. Undertaker beat him twice. Yokozuna beat him once. So you are correct. And Tomas, I'm going to the 30th anniversary of Raw. Well, enjoy. It's going to be a fun show. I'm looking forward to the show. They got a pretty loaded lineup on Monday. So it should be a good show. And of course, you guys know where to go. You guys are going to be right back here with me on Monday night. We're going to talk about Raw 30 and all the happenings. Tomas says, I'll let you know about the crowd and stuff. Yeah, please do. Please do. Chime in on the live chat if you can. Drop a super chat or whatever. And let me know what it's like live in the building. They're going to be in Philadelphia on Monday. So Philly is one of the more animated crowds, typically. So it should be a good crowd. You know, it's tough because how do you have a 30th anniversary of Raw and not have Stone Cold Steve Austin on the show? Even in the video they showed tonight, he was all over the video. They even ended the video with a shot of Austin, because when you think of Raw, I said this when I did my 30 for 30 Raw Moments countdown. When you think of Monday Night Raw, unless you're a brand new fan, who is the person that you think of first? You think of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Nobody has more memorable moments, not even matches, memorable moments, segments on Raw than Steve Austin. Nobody. The first stunner to Vince McMahon, all the vehicles that he operated, right? The cement into McMahon's Corvette, Dr. Austin, the Zamboni, the beer truck, the old Stone Cold stampeding down to the ring to help out Team WWF against the Alliance. On and on and on. How do you have a 30th anniversary show without him? But here's the reason I bring this up. I believe that we're going to get a surprise Austin cameo in the Royal Rumble, which I think they could use to then set up whatever his program might be at WrestleMania, if he's wrestling at WrestleMania. And I see him working out so hard on Instagram, and I know he said he looked in the mirror one day and he just didn't like the way he looked, right? He had put on some weight, so he wanted to start training and lose the weight, and I think that's great. I don't buy for a second, though, that he's working out as hard as he is and not coming back for another match. So if that's the case, you've already broken the seal. He came back last year, right? 19 years out of the ring, he came back. If this was going to be Austin's very first match in 20 years, okay, this here is 20 years since his last match with The Rock at WrestleMania 19. Then I would say, okay, you're not gonna blow it in a Royal Rumble cameo, right? You save that for WrestleMania. You've already seen him at WrestleMania. He already came back. Anything else we get with him now is a bonus. They're in Texas. And I can't think of a bigger Royal Rumble surprise in the history of Royal Rumble. All the surprise entrants, the biggest one that they have ever given us would be the glass shattering and Stone Cold coming down to the ring. It takes nothing away from WrestleMania if he's going to be wrestling at WrestleMania this year. So I'm expecting it. I could be wrong, but I'm expecting him to be in the Rumble. So the question becomes, if Austin is going to be a surprise in the Rumble, do you have him on Raw 5 days before the Royal Rumble? That's the conundrum. I think they have enough people, you know, legends on the show where they don't necessarily need him, but it would feel weird, though, to get through the show on Monday and not have him there in some way. That's kind of the thing I struggle with when I think about this, but the only thing I hope is that if Austin is in the Rumble on Saturday, next Saturday, and he comes out, I mean, he's working out like a beast. I'd like to see him out there this time with the vest, you know, not just like a t-shirt. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, Viviana just became a channel member. Actually, no, Viviana has been a channel member, but Viviana has been a channel member for one full year. 12 straight months for Viviana as a Sound Off superstar. That is amazing. Thank you, Viviana. Same with The Rock. I floated that idea on Twitter the other day. I said, wouldn't it be something to have Austin and The Rock both in the Royal Rumble just to get one more moment, one more confrontation with Austin and The Rock? Problem is, if Rock is in the Rumble, he's winning the Rumble. And I still feel Cody Rhodes should win the Royal Rumble and take the championship from Roman Reigns or WrestleMania. But that would be a hell of a moment. Keyshawn Johnson, how would a territory system work in today's era? It really wouldn't. Could it work? Not the way it used to. It's just sort of a relic at this point. You know, now we have independents all over the place. Every state, there isn't any one person who really runs a territory. And, the way the territory system, one of the great things about the territory system back then, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, you would work in a certain territory for an extended period of time. When you were done and the people were kind of sick of you, or you just had to get away right before you come back and go away for a while, you can't really get away with that today, because people could do that. And somebody on the West Coast wouldn't necessarily know what Ric Flair was doing in the Florida territory. They could read about it in the magazines, I guess, but it's not like you could just go online and see footage of the matches that he's having in Florida working for Eddie Graham. When he was done in Florida, he could leave and go work, let's say, in Portland for a while, or go down to Texas and work for the Von Erichs in World Class. And you didn't really know, you really know exactly what was going on in each territory. It was kind of, almost like their own little world. And so you could work someplace for months and then leave and be fresh again somewhere else. It's just a different world now. You got the internet, you got social media, everybody knows everything. It just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work in the same way. Anderson Blitz, I cannot wait to be at Raw 30 with my family. We'll enjoy the show. They're going to have a packed house in Philadelphia. I think they're going to have close to 15,000 people there on Monday, which I guess would explain why they're not running the Manhattan Center, even though I think that would have been cool. If they ran Hammerstein, which is not the building where Raw used to be, that's upstairs. Hammerstein's a little bit bigger, but even in Hammerstein, you're only going to fit like 2,500 people. 2,500, 15,000. You can see why they're running Philly. Although it would have made more sense to run, Barclays, I think, or MSG. But what do I know? One thing I will say here before we do Be the Booker, with this Royal Rumble coming up in about a week, this is going to be the first Triple H booked, if you don't believe Vince already has his hands in it. The first Triple H book, and maybe the only Triple H booked Royal Rumble. I have to believe that he wants to make a very big impression. He wants this to be the best fucking Rumble that there has ever been. So when it comes to surprises and it comes to the matches on the show, I think he's going to put his best foot forward and try to give people a show that they'll be talking about, and give them a show that they will be very happy with. So I'm also very excited to see what he comes up with. If this is truly a Vince-free show, and unfortunately from now on, we have to assume that it's not all going to be Vince-free. But if it's a Vince-free show, Triple H's idea for what he thinks the Royal Rumble should be, I am very, very excited to see what that looks like. I think he's going to want to give people a show that they will be talking about for a long time. And the Royal Rumble is my favorite show each year, so I'm very sensitive when it comes to the Rumble. I hate when they waste a Rumble and we get a shitty Rumble and have to wait an entire year for them to try to make up for it. Imagine how angry I was when we had a shitty Rumble in 2014. I wait an entire year just to get an even shittier Rumble in 2015. I don't want to see that. I want to see a great Royal Rumble. And while Triple H is busy booking the Royal Rumble, I'm going to get busy booking some matches of my own, because it is indeed time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Yes, Bautista. Bautista. Whatever you do, don't mention Bautista. It's very sensitive about that. Bautista came later on. But it is time for Be the Booker. There he is, the honorary Oos, Sami Zayn. Before we get into this here, EJ Slemp dropping a $4.99 super chat on me saying, do you know why those early shows were in the Grand Ballroom and not in the Hammerstein? And what is the earliest Hammerstein show? Was it ECW? I mean, the earliest wrestling show at the Hammerstein probably, yeah, was ECW. I don't know. I don't know if it was just a matter of them not feeling like they just couldn't pack that building weekly. I don't know what may have been going on downstairs with the Hammerstein at that time. I don't know. It's a lot easier to put 1,000 people in the Grand Ballroom than it is to put almost 3,000 in the Hammerstein. But let's do this here. Let's start out with the men's Be the Booker. Take this for a spin. Take this for a whirl. Triple H gets to book the Rumble. I get to book my own sound-off car. There's Grandpa Michaels there. All right, we begin with the Viper, Randy Orton, who we will not be seeing in the Royal Rumble this year. Randy Orton, his career very much in question right now. Randy Orton, 13. Is he 13 or 14? Time world champion. I've lost count. I think Randy Orton is 13-time world champion. Randy Orton against the Monster Abyss. Ooh, I like it. I like it. Abyss, back when he was still kind of in his prime. Not later on when, yeah, he was kind of in rough shape there. Randy Orton and Abyss, I think that could have been a great program in WWE. 14, is it 14? I'm being told that Randy Orton is a 14-time world champion. Not a 13-time world champ. So Randy Orton and Abyss, there you go. We're off to a good start. I like it. I like it. All right, here we go. Ladies, Be the Booker. We got over 150 women. That's what I call a good night right there. 150 women plus here in Be the Booker. And we are going to kick things off with one of the greats, WWE Hall of Famer. I believe a seven-time women's champion, Trish Stratus. This is Trish Stratus. I could tell. This is 2000 Trish Stratus. This was Trish Stratus early in her run. Her physical appearance changed as the years went on. So we have Trish Stratus. Go one-on-one here with Cyndi Lauper. Boy, you know, I feel like we've landed on Cyndi Lauper more than we should. Be the Booker, you know, the algorithm here is quite fond of Cyndi Lauper. I think the algorithm just, you know, it's just like girls just want to have fun. I think the algorithm just wants to have fun. It keeps coming back to Cyndi Lauper for some reason. Time after time. Keeps coming back to Cyndi Lauper. Well, that's why they call it a randomizer. You never know what it's going to land on. All right, well, one, take her out. Take her out. All right, well, let's see. We're one for one. As always, we come to the tag team one to break the tie. Get things off here with the Quebecers, Jacques and Pierre, former WWF Tag Team Champion. Look at those belts. Look at those. See, those belts are worth fighting for. Those are tag team titles that are worth fighting for. I like the Quebecers. If I had to pick a guilty pleasure tag team, it would be the Quebecers. I like their theme music, too. Quebecers going to be taking on Anderson and Gallows. Yeah, I don't think so. Not on my show. We could do better. One out of three. Randy Orton and Abyss. I like that match. The other two, not so much. The Amazing French Canadians, says Bret Hart. They were the Amazing French Canadians for a brief period on WCW television. King Bling Blah, $4.99. Rock No Shows, Roman's acknowledgement segment on Monday, enters the Rumble, throws BL out of the Royal Rumble. So all the Bloodline members? Roman screws Rock out of the Rumble for not showing up to acknowledge him. Well, look, it's pretty clear to me. The moment they announced that there was going to be a Roman Reigns acknowledgement segment on TV on Monday, you know, what other purpose does that serve? I mean, what other scenario are we left to wonder about, right? The Rock is part of that Bloodline, and he wants all the members of the Bloodline there. Rikishi is confirmed. Samu is confirmed. Afa and Sika, unless their health, you know, prevents them from doing so, I would imagine they would be there. Rock, I don't think Rock will be there. It's the perfect setup for Roman Reigns calling out The Rock or being upset with The Rock or feeling The Rock is disrespecting him in some way. Mikayu says, thanks for streaming, bro. You're welcome, bro. I'm here every week, bro. Just drop it in the tip jar, bro. Yeah, I saw there was an update from Fightful earlier today that more than just bringing back old wrestlers, Triple H is apparently looking at some non-traditional Rumble surprise. I mean, whatever that means. Non-traditional Rumble surprises next weekend. And my first thought when I hear that, when I hear non-traditional, is I think of celebrities. I think of someone like Bad Bunny. And we've already seen Bad Bunny in the Royal Rumble. So I'm hoping that's not what that means. To me, that would be fucking lame. Non-traditional could also mean something along the lines of a Forbidden Door type of situation, and that would be very interesting, right? We had Mickey James, the Impact Knockouts champion in the Women's Rumble last year. So I don't know what that means as far as non-traditional surprises in the Rumble. That could be something very cool, or that could be something very, very bad. I'm just, my first thought I hear that is celebrities. And I don't know, would Rock, I guess Rock would be considered a celebrity, right? So makes you wonder. And Rizzo with the $5. Pat McAfee returns, says power spying. Would not shock me at all to see Pat McAfee in the Royal Rumble. Right? College game day's over, isn't it? Pat should be back any week now. That's right, Mickey James did, right? Mickey just beat Jordan Grace to win back the Knockouts title. We could get a repeat of what we had last year. We hear Hardcore Country, and here comes Mickey James. I'm sure Impact would be more than happy to send her and her belt back to the Rumble. In fact, maybe that's why they put it back on her. The Royal Rumble's coming up. We got to get the belt back on Mickey. Rizzo says Roman forcing The Rock's mom to acknowledge him would be a good way to get The Rock involved. Absolutely. As long as we don't see Nia Jax on my TV on Monday. That would not be good. You know, we've heard Chelsea Green's name mentioned, and she hasn't been shy about teasing it. I'm positive we'll see Chelsea Green in the Rumble. As far as her husband, I saw that he just trademarked the name Zack Ryder. I don't know if WWE just let it lapse or what that's about. Cardona, I think, is a definite possibility. Part of me would... I don't want to start filling the Rumble up with just all the old guys, but man, I hate that my last memory of Shawn Michaels in the ring is that fucking Saudi Arabia match with bald Shawn Michaels in there. And I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily mind it even if Shawn Michaels was out there for a Rumble cameo in San Antonio just to kind of, you know, be able to say, okay, that's not my lasting memory here. My last appearance was in the Royal Rumble, a match that he won twice before in his hometown. Let him do a few spots. Am I in the Rumble? Well, if I am, I wouldn't tell you. Maybe WWE really is opening the Forbidden Door. Maybe they're opening the Forbidden Door to House of Glory, right? Hey. You never know. JWD, thank you for the five, man. We got a $5 super chat coming in. The more time goes on, the more I want Cody against Roman at Mania. It's a match we've never seen before. Cody's got that very personal story about wanting to stake his claim to being WWE champion. He made his intentions very well known the night after WrestleMania when he came back. Here we are now, almost a year later, even though he's missed most of that year. There's a great story there to be told. Jay White is not going to be a... I don't know, why do people think Jay White is going to be in the Royal Rumble? Where is this coming from? I don't understand it. Jay White is wrestling Hikuleo on February 11th. Like, he's not done yet with New Japan. Why do people think that Jay White is free and clear to be with WWE? I don't understand where this is coming from. Thoughts on Eric Bischoff saying, still saying Punk doesn't draw or is a financial flaw? I don't pay attention to what Eric Bischoff says. Rocky Rhodes says, I remember that the Rumble had AAA wrestlers. Maybe a AAA wrestler could be in this year's Royal Rumble. That was actually at the Alamo Dome. That was the last Rumble, not the last Rumble, the first Rumble they did in San Antonio in 97. They did another one in 2017. They had C. Brunetico was one. I just remember Mil Máscaras being in there and refusing to allow anybody to eliminate him. So the compromise was he would jump off the top rope onto somebody on the floor and eliminate himself. So that's how they worked it out with Mil Máscaras. He wouldn't put anybody else over. So I'll just, it's like being in a movie and saying, you know, I don't like this scene where this guy's going to blow me away. So I'm going to shoot myself in the head. How about that? Like, that would be Mil Máscaras. EJ Slemp with the $4.99. Charles Barkley in the Rumble would get mega heat in San Antonio. He always makes fun of their women and calls the river a little dirty creek. I don't think he needs to be in the Rumble. I don't know if he's in shape to be in the Rumble, but I wouldn't mind a Charles Barkley cameo or something in the same vein of Pete Rose at WrestleMania in Boston. He was great. I mean, Pete's a fucking piece of shit, but he was great at the 98 WrestleMania when he was out there saying, you know, I left tickets for Bill Buckner, but he couldn't bend over to pick him up. How about it? The City of Losers. It was one of the great WrestleMania appearances of all time. JWD with the $5. What do you think Austin is doing at Mania? Looks like he is getting ready for something. What do I think he's doing at Mania? He's having a match. Against who? I don't know. Maybe LA Knight. It's not going to be against John Cena. I know that. Apparently John Cena is wrestling Austin Theory. I thought he was wrestling Logan Paul. That was discussed, but apparently it looks like it's going to be Cena and Theory, which... being honest, I mean, as far as giving Theory the rub, I mean, that does make more sense. We even had Theory come out on TV last week, right? Came out, the champ is here. So it looks like that's going to be a match. Yeah, keep Shane away. Yeah, I think we keep Shane away from the Royal Rumble this year. I don't think Triple H is going to be bringing Shane McMahon back to be anywhere near the Royal Rumble. Got to invite Anthrax to Raw on Monday to play Thorn in Your Eye from 97. Was that Anthrax? Was that Anthrax that sang that song? I didn't think it was Anthrax that sang that song. You sure about that? When do the... somebody mentioned the Jaguars. When do they play? Is it tomorrow or Sunday? When does Tony Khan's team have their next game? What if Elias gets eliminated from the Rumble and Ezekiel comes in after? So he just rushes backstage and shaves his face and then comes back out? That would be awful. I don't want to see either one of them in the Rumble. I don't think that was Anthrax. Yeah, somebody look that up. I don't think that was Anthrax that sang that song. Oh, the Jags play tomorrow afternoon against the Chiefs. I'm going to be working all day in preparation for Sunday's podcast, so I'll try to sneak a peek if I can. They play tomorrow. Well, okay, so clarify this for me, because technically it's already Saturday. So are we talking, is it Saturday that they play, or is it Sunday that they play? Okay, here. Jacksonville in Kansas City is Saturday. Okay, thank you. Did the Cowboys get a new kicker in time for the game this weekend? That would have been a priority for me if I was the coach. I hope they have a new kicker. All right, so Thorn in Your Eye was performed by the WWF Superstars and Slam Jam. That's what I thought. Anthrax. I mean, that didn't sound right to me. I was like, I would love to hear this song if Anthrax sang a song on that album. Tom Brady enters the Rumble. Oh, imagine the heat. Imagine the heat if Tom Brady walked out there. Yeah, he's going through this divorce. He's going to need the money, so maybe he'll take the gig. The Cowboys got a new kicker. His name is Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones going to kick? Uffman Entertainment. We're all together now, and Thorn in Your Eye only had Scott Ian from Anthrax playing. Okay, so maybe that's the confusion. Scott Ian from Anthrax. Uncle Howdy. You know what? That's true. We could see Uncle Howdy in the Rumble. Thomas says, I want a good Rumble. Fingers crossed. Thomas, thank you for the $2. All right, so I am all caught up on your messages. And we did beat the Booker. We had a good SmackDown review. Feel pretty good about that one. Again, if you missed it from the podcast last Sunday, do go ahead. It's up on the YouTube channel right now. It's over an hour long. So if you got some time to kill this weekend, grab a snack and or a drink. You can check out the 30 best segments in 30 years of Monday Night Raw, ranked from number 30 all the way down to number 1, or I should say all the way up to number 1. And leave some comments, leave some feedback in the comments section. Let me know if you agree. Worked hard on that list. It was a bitch trying to rank this thing, but I think I did a pretty decent job, I hope. But anyway, I'm going to be back with you live on Monday night, Raw 30. Huge stream coming up on Monday night. We're going to be talking about the Go Home Raw before the Royal Rumble next Saturday. Of course, before then, we have episode 792 of the podcast this Sunday, which is going to be probably not 3 hours like it was last week, but it is going to be a big show, and I'm going to have a lot to say about Jay Briscoe, including stuff I have not had the time to talk about here on YouTube. But we will get into all of the Jay Briscoe stuff. All of it. We'll talk about all of it. The Nick Khan interview with Bill Simmons, all the latest on Vince McMahon, paying off another woman with some hush money. What else is new? Is there anybody who hasn't been paid off by this fucking guy at this point? So we'll talk about that and a whole bunch of other stuff. I hope you will join me for that on Sunday. And Keyshawn Johnson says, James Storm at the Rumble. I wouldn't do it. Now, if Bobby Roode was in there, that'd be pretty cool, but Bobby Roode is on the mend. He had neck surgery. He's going to be out for a while. I don't really have any interest in seeing Storm in there unless you could do something with him and Bobby Roode. Biblical Adrian, are you going to go see Fozzy and Ugly Kid Joe on tour? No, I am not. So there you go. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the football if you're watching football this weekend, and I will see you back here for more live streaming on YouTube coming up on Monday night. I'll see you then, guys. Take care.